Good morning. Welcome to the Covenant Church. It's great to have you here. The summer's ending. The kids can tell you that. School's coming. Everybody's preparing. A lot of prayers going on. Teachers, administrators, families, kids, and other things going on too. But we're here to worship today, and that's good. In 2 weeks, Sunday school starts, and just check the new things that are happening with that. Registrations online and other programs and children's and youth ministries will be starting up as well. Connect with the leaders or look online, or there's a little information in the bulletin. The contact will come out, the newsletter, monthly newsletter, this week. Also, in 2 weeks, we have a quarterly business meeting right after worship, 11:30. Well, this will be a little leeway there, but shortly after worship in 2 weeks. The church family hasn't been able to get together for a while for a meeting, and a lot of important things to look at, and God continues to bless us with finances. He's the giver of all good gifts, but we want to look at that as well and into the future. And that afternoon, four of our youth will be confirmed. And it's not really open to the whole church, because if we had 150 people show up, that we might get in trouble with the state or other entities. But if you're feeling called and want to support those youth and their families, you certainly can come. 2 o'clock on the 13th. Wednesday at noon is a graveside service for Donna Montambo. And just like weddings and other funerals, things kind of get put off. I mean, people couldn't meet, couldn't gather to say goodbye, to bury their loved ones, but that's happening now. And so, because Donna, she passed away in June, right, I think? Yeah, so, but there'll be a service noon at West Cemetery in Bristol, graveside, and then there'll be a reception, a luncheon back here at church as well. And there are a few items for the Women's Ministry Garden there. A couple tomatoes. Don't run. Just walk if you want them. They go quick. And thanks so much for all who are providing from their gardens. I don't know about you, but I kind of ebb and flow with the highs and lows spiritually. You know, this time, you know, with what's going on and, you know, one day the Lord is so powerfully present, you feel it. Another day it's like, wow, I just feel drained, you know. I don't know if you can relate to that, but all who are feeling a bit weak, all who are a bit hungry and thirsty for God, that's why we're here. That's why we're here to worship. That's how we begin. You can remain seated or stand, whatever you want to do for the first song, but, you know, we're supposed to come. We're weary, we're thirsty, you know. We don't have enough. It runs out. But God has everything. It's an eternal surplus of what He has. And He invites us to come and to tap into His love and His Spirit. So let's do that in song as we begin.
Thank you. Would you join with me in the call to worship? Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of your hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you
and worthily magnify your
holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us join together in song number 433. Pray with me. Lord God, the Almighty, the Elohim, creator of everything we know. You created us, Lord. Help us to remember that you are our potter and you have formed us for your purpose, your goals, your kingdom. Help us seek that out for you, Lord. That your kingdom will come in all of its glory and be established in this place, in this world. Never again to see all the faults that we see now, that justice will be done and you will be that judge. Totally righteous and totally just. Oh, how we need you, Lord. In everything we do, your presence is here among us. Your Holy Spirit is giving us his nudge, his knowledge. Help us to be still in the midst of life and know that you indeed are God. Join me as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Our first reading is Romans 12, 9 through 21, found in your pew Bible, page 923. Love in action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay any evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The second reading is Revelation 3:14 through 22, found in your pew Bible on page 996. To the church of Laodicea. To the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich with white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Come to our time of prayer, and it's always good to pray Scripture. So a few verses from Psalm 61. Let us pray. Hear our cry, O God. Listen to our prayer. From the ends of the earth we call to you. We call as our heart grows faint. Lead us to the rock that is higher than we are. For you have been our refuge, a strong tower against the foe. We long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard our vows. You have given us the heritage of those who fear your name. O Abba, Father, we do come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. There's so much going on in the world, in our own country, in our own lives and cities, towns, transition time, but we come before you, calling upon your name. We don't want to be like those who say, we have no need of you. We have such great need of you and your ways and your grace and your mercy and your love and your spirit to believe beyond anything we could ever possibly imagine that you are able to do so much more even through us. So we submit ourselves to you. And Lord, we thank you for the ultimate victory that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who defeated the power of sin, death, and the devil. And those things will one day be no more. They will be restored. But as the summer is ending, we claim that victory for ourselves, for our own, for this area and region and towns. We pray for positive change in people's lives, in our minds and our hearts, for peaceful times, resting in you, even though the storms may rage in whatever form they come. They seem to keep coming, but we take our shelter, we rest in you, El Shaddai. Be with our seniors, be with those who are shut in. We love them. We miss them. Be with our neighbors as well. For young families, for individuals, for men, women, and our youth, be with them, Lord. Draw them close to you in these days and times to throw off what is needed to be thrown off and to take on your character. To put on our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the children, for teachers and administrators, many whom are here this morning. Oh, build them up in you, Lord, in your ways, in your word, taking on your character, Lord. There'll be a lot of patience needed. Oh, protect and instruct and encourage each of them in their faith, and bless all the homes and families and all the new forms of schooling that will be taking place. But we know that you are sovereign over it all. Oh, Lord, we pray for all politicians. We pray for an alignment with you and your purposes, Lord. You can use anybody, and you have throughout history. So we believe in that. We trust in that. And for all who are against you and your ways, we pray that they would experience the abundance of your love and know what it is to fear you, Almighty God, that they would turn and repent. But Lord, we cannot just pray for others to return and repent. We need to pray for ourselves, for your church, for America. Your word says, if we return to you, you will return to us. So we claim that, Lord. We want to seek your face in these days, even today, to confess our sin, to turn. And Lord, your promise is that you will return to us and forgive and heal. Give us again, O God. Surprise us. Fill us with your spirit. Raise up prayer initiatives like never before. Oh, Lord, we pray for big things because you are almighty. We pray for those who are grieving in unimaginable ways from many losses or losses long ago. We think of Liz and Dennis and little Liz, the Montambo family, an extended family. Be with them as they say goodbye to Donna this week. For all who are grieving, Lord. comfort them, give them your peace. We pray for all facing isolation, separation from loved ones, or a darkness that they just cannot seem to be escaping. All that is overwhelming. Come quickly, Almighty God. Come with your light and your power and your strength. Touch hearts, connect people. Bring your light, your presence to each and every one, even at this moment. Shine, Lord Jesus, shine into each home. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may your purpose be our purpose, your mission, our mission, your word, our message, your sacrifice, not only our example, but our healing in Jesus' name. By your stripes we are healed. And Lord, we quiet our hearts now. I think the children are getting ready to come up here to the altar for their message. But we welcome your word. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Bless the children. Fill us. Fill this place. Fill Rachel and fill Pastor Ann, Holy Spirit. Fill us all again and again. Amen. All right, kids.
Doing the good things that he calls us to do. And in that warning in Revelation, he goes on to talk about how sometimes we get comfortable, right? When we're comfortable, when everything is kind of going well for us, we're just like, okay, we don't really need God. We don't call out to God. We don't make sure we're praising God because everything's just going well. word for what should I do next? Because we're just going along. But God wants us to live with fervor and zeal and to be always enthusiastic to do His work, to do the good things that He called us to do. So when somebody needs help, reaching out and helping them. When somebody comes over to your house, showing them hospitality, offering them something to eat or letting them play with your things. Not just standing here watching life go by. Because even though that's not bad, it's not evil, it's not what we're called to do. Okay? Let's pray. Jesus, we just pray that you would fill each one of our hearts, Lord, so that we could live with zeal, Lord, that we could live with a constant enthusiasm and desire to do the good works that you call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Let me put myself in order. I've been here. I forgot to reset my pages. Let's pray. Lord, what an awesome, awesome day that you have given us to hear about Laodicea, to learn that there is indeed hope in any church as long as we're seeking after you. So I pray, Lord, that all that I have to say is for your glory and not my own. In Jesus' name, amen. Good old Laodicea. We all know Laodicea because they have lukewarm water. Well, we're going to learn why that is, and we're going to touch on that right off the top because that is what we know them for, their tepid water. So, water supply. Laodicea is one of the few cities in all of Asia Minor and Rome and even toward Israel. When you look at the different cities, they all had water. Nobody did not have water. The well got dug first. Not here. Laodicea had no water. The two cities in the valley where they were at both had water. That was Colossae and Hierapolis. One had ice-cold mountain spring water that was just delicious. The other, Hierapolis, had mineral springs that were great to go and soak in and heal the bones and give you some amount of health that was exterior. That water, with all of its minerals, was not the best water to drink, although it was boiling hot. So, what happened? Well, both have rivers. Both the rivers flow toward Laodicea, merging into waterfalls that eventually go directly into the ground. Hence, they had no water. So engineering systems were put in place. These cities were 10 and 11 miles apart and away from Laodicea. So it took some decent engineering to get water to Laodicea. And they did so. They had an aqueduct from Colossae to transport this beautiful, delicious, refreshing water that would come into Laodicea. By the time it arrived, it wasn't refreshing anymore. It had lost its temperature. And then from Hierapolis, they built pipes of clay to bring that water, boiling hot, they hoped, to their cities. They'd have hot water and cold water. They put it all in one cistern. They've only recently found that cistern. So all the tepid water went into this one place. Now my sister will tell you she'll drink it. She's here. I can say that now. She'll drink anything, whatever temperature it is. But this water was dangerous. This water was sour. Do y'all remember the cereal they came out with back in the late 50s, 60s? It was called Total. The Total cereal. It had all your vitamins and nutrients and, oh, how sickening that was. I could have feed it to our cows, never mind me. So there has to be a point where it's palatable, where it's delicious, where it's edible or drinkable. That was not so with their water. In fact, to actually drink this water, it induced vomiting. And Jesus' word for lukewarm or tepid was the Greek word putrid. Okay, so that put a whole new dimension on lukewarm anything. So this is not good to have putrid water. They couldn't drink it. You couldn't boil it in your house without making your house smell horrible. If you drank it, you would vomit. It induced it. So if you had a gut problem, that's what you got. So their own water supply was very deadly. So that wasn't working out for them so well. Laodicea's population was about 40,000. Laodicea was actually a church plant, planted by one of Paul's runners, Epaphras. He was, the commentaries speak of him quite often, and he was one to go from city to city to deliver messages. Who knows that he wasn't one of the ones that came to deliver this message to Laodicea in the end. So this is his founding church. I thought that was quite interesting. This city boasted of two theaters, one Roman, one Greek. Go wherever you want, whatever show you need. No other city in all of Roman Empire had two theaters. They just didn't, and their populations far exceeded Laodicea's population. So just knowing that, you're like, what? Doesn't make a lot of sense here. Jesus introduced himself in each one of these letters. We're going to go through them for a reminder. Ephesus, the one who held the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. Smyrna, the first and the last, who was dead and who has come to life. Pergamum, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword. Thyatira, the Son of God, who has eyes like flames of fire, and his feet are burnished bronze. Sardis, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Philadelphia, he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and who shuts and no one opens. Laodicea, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now from my ESV, the keyword study Bible that I have, my sister gave it to me. The beginning of the creation of God. What does that mean? It actually refers to Jesus, the originator, a.k.a. the cause of creation. That ought to give you chills. Oof. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The I Am has a message for you, Laodicea, and he is not pleased. Why has this church drawn such a reaction from the Lord? Verse 17 says, because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy and have need of nothing. All of our cities, except two, seem to have devised ways to survive among the pagans. But how they did that was not what Jesus would have instructed them to do. Laodicea is no exception to this issue. So now let's look closer at the city. Laodicea was wealthy. It was the banking center of that quadrant of the year of the world in Asia Minor. They had no qualms about making sure everybody knew they were rich. It was still on that major trade route. They suspect that it was also the mail route. So think about that little circle of these seven churches, and somebody's going to deliver your mail there. And being on that major trade route, they had access. They had access to anything and everything. And they had the dollars to buy it. Remember, there were two theaters. They could spend their money and not be hurt by that. They were so confident, so proud of themselves, that when an earthquake struck there in 60 AD, the earthquake all but destroyed Laodicea at that time. Well, Rome came, but they told Rome, we'll take care of this ourselves. You just go back. We don't want your money. So they did take no funds from Rome to rebuild, and they rebuilt successfully. Rome made note of that, and it's in the records that I think it's Titius wrote, making note of the fact that they refused any building assistance whatsoever. Make that note that the Christians were very affluent among their pagan counterparts. Why was that? Basically, they looked just like their counterparts. There seemed to be no threat to the Christians from their neighbors. All seemed good and all prospered. This region was a textile empire. They actually had a black wool that was extremely exquisite, unlike anything else in the known world. So they had markets for these, and everyone apparently was involved. They also had a medical facility that developed an eye salve with healing properties from the stone that is found around Laodicea. But they could not see. So he even refers to their lack of sight and the application of that salve so that they could see. He tells them, you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. That's not what they thought of themselves. They couldn't see this problem. Jesus' letters to all of his people were warning them, giving them a way out, a way of correction, a redirection. He loves his own and wants to see his people, the body of Christ, walking in his ways. Of that there is no question. So his remedy for Laodicea is this, verse 18. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. Before I continue, I just want to say thank you to Rachel. Where'd she go? Off with the children. That was perfect, her little talk on what is good here. This gold is not the precious metal found in the ground, but his people's character that he is concerned about. Character of honor and integrity and virtue. Good choices to honor the people of God and to be different than the people of Laodicea who have no true God. He supplies that character. God gives us that character when we come into salvation and accept our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The virtue of the lives of the upright. He supplies that character that lives in us. This is usually done under pressure. But they didn't seem to be under any pressure. So there was no fire to push them into this character development that Christ was attempting into their lives. And his white garments of righteousness, so that you may clothe yourselves. They didn't understand their shame and their nakedness. And he's like, you got to put on the robes of righteousness. You received them when I went to the cross. He'd already done the work, but they weren't wearing their righteous robes. They weren't covering themselves. So all of this lends into where he's taking them, and maybe even us. all kingdom riches and the robes of righteousness that Jesus purchased at the cross. Oh, for his grace and his mercy. His reminder is in verse 19. Those whom I love, I reprove, I discipline. Therefore, be zealous. Rachel even took care of that too. Be zealous and repent. Turn around. Get back to me. Get on my path. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14. But you can read 14, 15, 16. Just read John. So good. Make no mistake. I am the only way to eternal life. Every church that is the Lord's has to evaluate both individually and corporately as the body of Christ to be zealous for his truth and to repent each and every one as God calls to us. His body can't be in unity as believers and fit in so well with the world that the church looks the same. We must be different. So he calls, and we must respond in his truth. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. That's a really popular verse. A lot of times we see it used out of context, but it's still a great prayer for the unsaved. I use that same verse to pray for not only my husband, but his mother as well before they receive Christ. Yet here, Jesus isn't talking just about the individual. He's knocking on the door of the church, maybe our church. I cried for a week, now I'm going to cry again. I didn't do that first service. Too much has gotten in our way. Christ has been pushed out of the door of the church. He wants to come in and to dine with his people. What does that mean? In the first century church, not even just the church, but to go in to dine with someone was an exceptional experience. It meant to enter their home and to sit down in deep, intimate fellowship and enjoy one another's company. How awesome would that kind of a meal be for each and every one of us? We're always called to the altar. We're called to come to communion and to receive what he has for us. It's a guarantee. It's a promise he's given us. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus is calling us to yoke up with him whose burden is light. He will carry our burdens as well. He will show us his ways, and we will gain rest and peace in that. For us as individuals, we have a part and response to answer that door of our own hearts. A necessary step in our personal fellowship with our Lord. Yet these words are written to the church. Little c, big C, doesn't matter. We are his church. Once the Laodicean church is done with this letter, all the other churches are going to hear it. And here we are now hearing it yet again. So letters passed on, written down, given for our own benefit. This verse is not just personal, but it is for the church, their churches, our churches. And the question for the church, is Jesus standing outside our door, knocking, to be admitted once again to his own church in modern times? That we might set our focus on him and be separated never again. To be intent on serving only God and his Son, through the Holy Spirit. What then is the reward? There is great reward. Gold purchased at no cost, and white robes of righteousness. He who overcomes, that repentance thing is right there. I will give him the privilege to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down on my Father's throne. He who hears this, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the church says. So what did happen to Laodicea, the church? Well, apparently, they heard the word. One of the pieces that I used came from David Padfield from 2015. A lot of research went into his, well, as did many. But he spoke of the Laodicean church and its future among the believers. So they did hear this letter, and they heard all the others. And they went into repentance and to the point of revival among themselves, with the ability to separate themselves in the church building and to understand their call to the future. This church went on to make its place among the believers. One of the Laodicean bishops was martyred not 70 years after these letters were all read to all of the churches. And in 363 AD, Laodicea was a location chosen for a significant church council. So it appears that the church of Laodicea heard the lesson, and God continued to bless this community there for some time into their future. Toward the end of the 5th century, yet another quake struck Laodicea and leveled that city beyond ever being rebuilt. And there stands no remains, only the remains today. No new city like Colossae has, or some of the other cities, nothing. But what about our Christian counterparts? What do you think? The hope is that they had heard the word, they made the change, their repentance was sure, and they went on to be dispersed out among all the people in the Asia Minor and to spread the word even farther than it went at that time. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, who gave his life for many. Our riches are in him alone. Amen. Let us sing.
in a moment, while the worship team does the next song, you'll have the opportunity to worship the Lord with your tithes and offerings, and you can come up to the front and drop your tithes and offerings in the plate. But before we do that, let's give a word of prayer to the Lord. Father, we just come before you with grateful hearts, Lord, because we can give thanks for all that you have given us. For you have taken us when we were weak and you have made us strong. You have taken us when we are poor and you have made us rich. So we come and we bring our tithes and our offerings and our gifts to you, Lord, and we lay them down at your feet with praise and thanksgiving for all that you've done. We ask that you would use them and bless your people, your church, and spread your kingdom, Lord. And Father, we ask that you would just come in your church, Lord, that you would just put that zealous, zealous fire in us, that we would stand firm with both feet in the kingdom, not lukewarm, not one on earth and one in the kingdom, for we can only serve one master. So strengthen us and give us that boldness and that courage to put two feet in the kingdom, to keep our eyes on you, to continue to go forward, to carry out your mission in this world, that we may bring you to the lost, that they may come, that they may hear the knocking that you have on their doors, that they would open them and that you would forever live in their hearts. But Lord, strengthen us and use us to be the witness of you and the cross on this earth. Let us not be moved by the things around us. Let us not be deceived by the things that our eyes may see, but that we may see only through the lens of you in eternity, that we may see through the lens of the kingdom, so that we will not be moved, that our feet will be rooted and firmly planted on the rock, the rock of Christ. So, Father, take us all, everything that we have, and let us offer it up as a sacrifice. Let us offer it up as a willingness and obedience to go forth and carry out your mission. We thank you that you are with us every step of the way, and we thank you that no matter what happens, that you are in control and your plan will come in perfect fruition and your perfect timing in all this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we depart, let us remember, love all people. Call them out of darkness into His glorious light. He has shown us His way. Walk in it. Amen.